Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirin Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now in the final podcast of this particular sugyan, Masachet Bav Mitzia Daf Tet Zayin Amud Bet. We'll be going till the next Mishnah, Mishnah Zayin on Yud Chet Amud Aleph. We are near the bottom of the Amud Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hamotzei Shtar Chov Bashuk, and this will go against the approach of taken by Shmuel that we analyzed in the last podcast. We find a Shtar Chov in the Shuk. This is a slight addition to what we saw in our Mishnah, even though there is a notarization on it that the shtar is confirmed by the Beit Din. Lo yachziru labalim, you still don't return it. Lo mibayich lo katub bo henpek, certainly if there is no henpek, could be that the shtar was written and the loan was never executed. In other words, confirming that the signatures of the Edim are legitimate. We're concerned that it was maybe already that it may already have been paid back. And that, of course, Shmuel said, Lo chashin lepiraon. Remember, Rabbi Avahu presented this in Rabbi Yochanan's name. So Rabbi Yirmiya, another student, challenged Rabbi Avahu. So kol ma'aseh beitid harei zeh yachzir. We have a statement that any Beit Din generated shtar should be returned. So Amalei Yirmiya Bari, he said, Yirmiya, lo kol ma'aseh beit din shavim, not all things done by the Beit Din, ela kugon shuchzak kafran. When did Rabbi Yochanan say that you can't return it? That's when the malve has already been demonstrated to be a kafran. So Amar Rav Mishum Huchza Kafran Charazim, just because one time he was Huchza Kafran, that we know that the Love was a kafran. Therefore, he's not believed to say a parati, and therefore the Mishnah says Kol Ma'aseh Beit Din Yachzir. That's only when the Love already lied about it. And then Edim came and confirmed that he had lied, that he really had not paid back. So Marav Mishum Nuhuchza Kafran Chalazimna, just because the Lova one time was a Kafran, therefore Tulo Para Klal, therefore he never pays back, and therefore every time he finds something we say it probably wasn't paid, you could return it. That doesn't work. Elam Marav Manitin Bishtar Chalta'ata Vadrachta. He said, our Mishnah, meaning Hareza, the Maisa Beit Din Choser, is talking about Shtar Chalta'ata Vadrachta. So a shtar chalta'ata is a shtar in which property that's been seized by the malve is now confirmed to be that he can hold on to it. And an adrachta is a writ that allows the malve, or whoever the balchov is, to do a property search or title search to find what property is available for seizure. Uchar Rabbi Zeira, as we saw earlier in the previous podcast. Now kafran, well, v'atali adanim b'milta. Since we're talking about the issue of a kafran, someone who has been found to lie when sued, we have something else to say about it. The Amar is of Amar Yumi Amar Rav Nachman. Remember, this is Rav Nachman version 1. Amru lo tzeitein lo, if the Beit Din tells him, go pay the debt. V'yamar parati, and then after a while he says, I did pay it, neman. Bam malva lichtov, and if the malva then wants to write an adrachta, en kotvim v'notnim lo. If the Malva wants to write an adrachta to seize the property, we won't allow it, we believe the lova to say that he paid back. Chayava talitain lo, but if all they told the lova was you have to pay, not go pay. But they found him liable, v'mar parati, and then he says parati, enoneman, he's not believed to do that. But malva lichtov kotvim not nimlo. And in that case, we do allow the malva to write an adrachta. Now Rav Zvid Mishmed Rav Nachman, this is version 2 of Rav Nachman, amar, bein tzeitain lo, bein chayava talitain lo, v'mar parati neman. Whether they told him pay it or you are liable to pay it, and it's without a directive, and then he says, after a while I paid it, and he's believed. And in either case, do we give an adrachta the malva? So, Elaika leflugi, but Rav Zvid says, Rav Nachman, where would Rav Nachman possibly have said things are different? Hachiudika leflugi, in the following, Amrulo tseitenu v'ma parati. Now this is where the kafran comes in. If the Beit Din said, go pay him, and he said, after a while, I did pay. And then Edim come and say he didn't pay back. And then again he says, okay, I did pay back afterwards. He is then considered a kafran for that particular payment, and we don't believe him. But if they say, you have to pay, not go pay, but you are liable. And then he says, parati. So here's where the difference that Rav Zvid will allow for, because this is the difference you may have intended in Rav Nachman's words, between chayava talitein lo v'tseitein lo, is flipped. According to this version, tseitein lo actually comes out worse for the lova, because if they told him tseitein lo, which means he really has to pay immediately, and he doesn't have any stall tactics, and then he says, I paid, and then Adim say he didn't pay, he now will never be believed about that moment. But if they said chayav atalitein lo, which means he does have a little time to stall, and he says, I paid, and then the Adim say he didn't pay, he's not necessarily a kafran. Why not? My tama, ishtamuti udukam ishtamut mine. He's trying to stall a little bit to find money. Savra adama ainu berabonin bedine. The rabbis are still checking in to see about my payment. So in the meantime, I can find time. So in the meantime, I'll buy more time by saying parati, but he's not really trying to get out of it. So he's not absolutely a kafran. Rabbi Bachana Rabbi Yochanan. So now another halachan Rabbi Yochanan's name. Maneli biad chava lo omer in lechabiyadi klum. Guy says, you owe me $100. Guy says, I don't owe you anything. And the Edim say, yes, he does. Chazavam aparati. And he says, okay, I did, but I paid back. Same halacha. He's not believed because he's already lost his trust about that money. And then we have a story. Kehad shabtoi bereid Rabbi Marinus. This particular fellow. Katab lo lekalte itztala demilta v'chtubata. He wrote in a particular fancy garment into her ktubah, v'kiblale, and he accepted upon himself the obligation to pay it. Irchas ktubata. So that was an addition to the ktubah. She lost her ktubah. So then, when he came to write a new ktubah, and she said, put it back in, amar lohadam, he said, "Never, I never made such an obligation, such a commitment. Atu sadi v'amri'in. So then Adim came and said, yeah, we remember that ktubah, and you did have that fancy garment in there. Katavla, so he wrote it in, Lasof Amarlahu Parate, and then he turned around and said, I paid it. Azakam Rabbi Chia Amarle Huchzakta Kafran Otanjtala. They came to Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia said, no, you are not believed anymore to say you paid it back, because on that particular garment you're a Kafran, because originally you're trying to get weasel out of it by saying there never was such an agreement. So we already know that you're not going to be honest about that. So then when the Adim said that you did have it in, so you had to give them that, you wrote into the ktubah, and now we believe that you're lying when you say you paid it. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have sort of a parallel case, another halacha Rabbi Yochanan's, which is Hayachav l'chavero shvua. Let's say a fellow owed another fellow a shvua, which means a fellow came, let's say, with one aid that he's chayv. Amar nishbati, and he said, I did take the shvua. And the Edim came and said, no, he didn't. And then he said, and then he again comes and says, well, subsequently I took a shvua. Again, he's not a kafran for everything. That was Rava's challenge before. But he's a kafran for this oath. And therefore, we no longer believe him when he says, I took this oath. He has to do it in front of the Beit Din. So they brought this halacha that Rabbi Avin quoted to Rabbi Avahu. Amar lahum, istaber milta Rabbi Avin. That statement of Rabbi Avin would only make sense in chayev shua b'beit din. If he was obligated by beit din to take a shua, v'chayev atzmo shua, but if he generated his own shua, like he said, you don't believe me, I'll take a shua to prove it. So then, Naaman. Then he's believed to say, I took it. Because Avin inish to mikri v'amar, because sometimes people will speak in such a manner. So I drew a command to Rabbi Avin. They brought this back to Rabbi Avin and said, this is Rabbi Avin who thinks that your statement only works for a commitment that was made in Beit Din, but not by himself. Malahu ananami Beit Din Amri. He says, that's exactly what I was talking about. I wasn't talking about any shvua, only a shvua that's generated by Beit Din. Fellow is a chayiv to take a shvua in Beit Din. And he turns around and says, I took that shvua. I took the shvua. He didn't come and say, no, you didn't. If he afterwards says, I took the shvua, we don't believe him anymore. Now we have the same transmission we had earlier. So as the original statement, properly suited, has the word bevetin in it. So the same halacha with the addition of the words bevetin. Okay, Amrav Asir Rabbi Yochanan, another halacha of Rabbi Yochanan that's going to be in somewhat a similar vein. And this goes back to the first thing that we saw in the beginning of the podcast in Rabbi Yochanan's name. When you find a shtar chov in the shuk and it has a henpek, meaning a notarization, v'chatuv bo zmano, and it also has a date on the shtar, so bo bayom yachziru lebalim. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan says you don't return it, but he says if the date on the shtar, meaning the date the loan was executed, is today, you return it to the balim. Why? If your concern is that maybe the guy wrote a star halva but never borrowed the money, hakatubo henpek. There's already a henpek on it, which means that it has been confirmed for collection. Imishum piron, if you're concerned that maybe the guy already paid it back, lepriya bat yom alochashino. We're not concerned that a guy is going to pay it back on the same day that the loan was taken out. That's a concern that's beyond that is beyond what we need to take into account. So Amar Rav Zera Lavasi. And this is Rav Asi quoted Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Zera challenged him and says, "Mi am Rabbi Yochanan hachi? Since when did Rabbi Yochanan say that? Ha'atud amar shmeid Rabbi Yochanan. You yourself quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, 'Shtar shalavavo upraom eno chozer velo vebo.' If you use the shtar, you're the lovet, and you use the shtar to get a loan, and you paid it back, you can't use that same shtar again. Why? Shekvarnim chal shibudo. And the reason is because whatever shibud is in the shtar has now been forgiven. In other words, the malva had a shibud on your property. He forgave it when you paid it back. The shibud in the shtar is now something that can't be regenerated. Now, emat. When is it you're trying to reuse it? Ilem l'machara liyom machara. If it's for like another day, then tomorrow or some other day. So my year shekvarnim chal shibudo. Why do you need shekvarnim chal shibudo? Tevgul avin lemuktam. It's an ashtar muktam because the date is today and you're trying to use it tomorrow. But now shitre chav muktam in psulin. The Mishnah Shvit says if you use a predated shtar chov, it's possible because the obvious reason you're going to take from the lekuchot inappropriately. Alalam biyomi. It must be that the shtar is on the same day, meaning you wrote a shtar, you paid it back on the same day, and are you trying to reuse it on the same day? And we said you can't do it because of the shibud. Alma pari in shibiyome. So you see that sometimes people will pay back a debt on the same day that the shtar was written. Meaning you borrow money in the morning, midday you suddenly find you have the money, you pay it back right away, and then try to use the shtar again. And they can't only because of the shibud problem. So Amarle, Rabbi Rasi said back, me coming to a pari klal. I didn't say that nobody ever does that. It's possible to construct such a case. All I said is it's not common to find that, and therefore we don't have to raise the concern. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan said that if you find a shtar that has a henpek, and it's on the same day you found it on the day written in the shtar, you can return it, because we don't have that concern. Rav Kahana Amar Kishachayiv Moder. Rav Kahana says, no, Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is a little bit different. Why can you return it if it's on the same day? That's only when the lova admits to the debt. He says, yes, I owe the money. So what's the chiddush? You found a star on the same day as the star, and the lova says, yes, I owe the money. Of course you're going to return to the malva. Now, ma'ud etema haimi for pare. I might think that might create the following hypothetical. Perhaps the lova already paid it back. Haidekamer lo paratia. So why is he saying I still owe the money? He really wants to use that same shtar again. So he wants to get it, have it brought back, and he'll use it again. He's trying to save the money that he has to pay. Remember, the lova has to pay the sofer to rewrite it, to write a second shtar. He wants to save that money. So why can't you do it? If that's the case, the malva himself will not use the shtar. Why? Savar shami bi rabbanon mafsidili. The rabbanon are going to hear that I used a shtar that already had the shibud canceled because it's a recycled shtar, if you will, and I'm going to lose any right I have to seize property of the lova. So why would I do that? So in other words, Rav Kahana says the situation where you are allowed to return the shtar on that same day is because we have no concern that the lova borrowed, paid back, and now is trying to borrow on the same shtar a second time, because the malva wouldn't buy it, because then the malva knows he's going to lose. So now, our Mishnah, why is this any different than our Mishnah? And most of our approaches in it, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that it's that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the lova admits to the debt. And our whole concern, the reason you can't return it is because maybe the date on the shtar is significantly earlier than when the loan was actually executed. And then the malva is going to seize property from the kuchot from before the loan was made. And we don't say, oh, the malva wouldn't want to use such a shtar. The Amar Lake, Tov Shtar Achrina, Vetishrei, the Dilma Shami Rabbanim, Yisidili. The Malva's not going to turn around and say, oh, let's write another star from the later date so I don't lose out. So how come in our Mishnah we raise the concern and say you can't return the star, and here we say you can? Because in the case in our Mishnah, the Malva really does have some upside, a dishonest upside. He has a whole few months, whatever the intervening time is, that he can seize from the Kuchot. So menach nechale. So for him, it's good enough. It's a risk worth taking. And the upside of getting away with it is worth it. V'lo amar v'lo midi. He won't say anything. He'll keep the star and he'll collect like that. Hacha kevin delay the ravcha. But here, the malva doesn't have any upside. It's on the same day. Sof sof star ha'id naktiv. So he doesn't gain anything from it. There's no period which he doesn't have rights to collect that he's using them anyways. So ma'ikar katar v'lo kuchot. So b'shtar shenu chashibur al shavik. So therefore, the malva certainly is not going to take a shtar, which doesn't get him any better job than writing a new shtar, same date, and this one's going to be invalid because the shibud is already nimchal. He's not going to use it. Therefore, in such a case, you could pay it back because you know it. You can return it because you know it hasn't been paid back. More halachot of Rabbi Yochanan. Hatoin achar masa beitin lo amar klum. If a fellow makes a claim about masa beitin, for instance, all the tanaim of ketubah, and he makes a claim that he already paid it back, he says that the claim is nothing. My tama, ko masa beitin, kamanda nakishtar biyadei dami. Anything that's a masa beitin, we consider it as if there's a real star out there, that you have this chiyuv. So the chiyah bar avad Rabbi Yochanan, v'lo mishnatenu hizu. He says, Rebbe, isn't that our Mishnah? Hotzia get ve'enim oktubah, the Mishnah in ktubah, tet, Mishnah perak tet, Mishnah tet. If a woman comes to bait and she brings out a get, she has no ktubah, govak tubah, she can collect her ktubah. So you see that masa baitin, like a ktubah, is as if it's written. So Amarleh, so Rabbi Yochanan said, no, I'm saying something more than the Mishnah, because I loved it loy la chaspa lo mishkachat marganita tuta. If I had not lowered a cheap piece of pottery, you would not have found the jewel underneath it. In other words, what I told you gave you new insight into that. That Mishnah alone doesn't tell you. Rabbi Amar Marganita, so Rabbi now in Bavel comments, says, what's the big jewel? So Dil Malkam Shen Kotvin Ktubaskin, maybe that Mishnah Ktubot is talking about a place where they don't write a Ktubah, therefore all you have is a get. The get, Hainu Ktubata. But from that Mishnah in Ktubot, we don't know that you can collect your ktubah without a ktubah, and so therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, you can, because my atonach ha-masavetin lo marklum. So hadam Rabbi Yelam milta hidami. Rabbi turned around and said, what I said was wrong. And how could that Mishnah be talking about a situation where a place where they don't write a ktubah? Then how would you ever have an almana min ha-erusin collecting her ktubah? Think about this. A grusha, of course, can always collect with a get. An almana min anisulin, of course, can always collect because their witnesses are at the wedding. But an almana min erusin, how is she ever going to like to collect a ktubah if you don't write a ktubah? So if you just have people who testify that the guy died, liton v'lema paratia, then the heirs will say, we already paid her off. If you say, yeah, that works, so why did Chacham demand that you pay the ktubah to protect her when it could always be gotten out of? So Abaye then turns around and says, indeed, that Mishnah alone did not give us the entire picture. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan's halacha of atona chamayse beitin really does have a chiddush to it. Now, Amar Lemar Kashisha Bredu Rav Chista Rav Ashi. Turn around and said, V'amam Erusin Dilak Tuba Menalan. That the previous sugya started with a premise, and by his answer, started with a premise that an almona min Erusin has a ktuba, and his claim is, how if the Mishnah in Perek Tet of Ktubot was talking about a place where they do not write a Ktubah, how would an Almana Meirusin ever be able to collect? So he now asked the question of Rav Ashi, how do we even know that an Almana Meirusin does get a Ktubah? Maybe the only time you get a Ktubah is a divorce, or if you're already married to the guy and then he died. Elam Meharitnan, if you have it from the beginning of the first, fifth Perek in Ktubot, which is Nit'al Manau Nitgarsh Ben Merisim Ben Nersuim Govata Kol, the Machloket Rabbi Elazar and Azari and Chachamim, about what happens when a guy writes a ktubah and adds as much as he wants and then he dies. whether, I mean, she collects everything. Well, Zman Azariah says, no, she only collects the principal, Me'a Matayim, unless there was Nisuin. So Dilma Hechad Katavla, maybe that's talking about a situation where he did write it for her. But who says that an almana automatically gets a ketubah min Eirusin? So if that's the case, then what's the point of the Mishnah telling you that she collects it if he wrote it? Maybe it's needed to challenge Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion or to counter it, who said that if he dies before they got married, then she only collects the Me'am HaTayim because the rest was for the Chibat Chuppah, Chibat Biyat, Sugya at the beginning of the fifth parak. And we can even prove it because it says Govat HaKol. What does Govat HaKol mean? It means she collects everything above the Me'am HaTayim. So it has to be a situation where the guy wrote a ketubah, he wrote a nicer amount. So therefore it says she collects everything. But if you say that Mishnah is talking about a case where he didn't write a ketubah, and that Amon Min Erison gets a ketubah automatically, my Govat HaKol, what kind of Govat HaKol is there? There's just Me'am HaTayim. So perhaps we have a different source that proves that an almana min erusin gets a ketubah. Chiya bar Ami taught the following: Ishto arusa, if a man is betrothed, lo onen, if she dies, he's not an onen v'lo mitame lav. He's a kohen, doesn't go to the funeral. V'chein he lo onen v'lo mitame lo. Same thing. Lo mitame lo, of course, means she doesn't have an obligation to be mitame to him. Because a woman doesn't have any Isur of Tumah, of Tumat Meit, and she's not Onenet, she's not an Avela for him. In other words, Avelut and the obligation to care a funeral only start with marriage. Meita, here's the part we care about. If she dies, Enu Yorsha, he does not inherit her property. Meitu, but if he dies, Kovak Tuvata, she collects a ketubah. So you see that an Almanam and Erison has a ketubah. No, Dimat Katavla, maybe that's talking again about a case where if he wrote a ketubah, she keeps it. If that's the case, what's the chiddush telling me that if a guy writes a ketubah for his fiancée before they're married and then he dies, she collects it? Shtachov. So meita in a yorshit stuichle. That was needed for the opposite side to say that if she dies, he doesn't inherit her. So we don't have any proof from here. Al Abaye guvar manitin kahadabe. Abaye, actually, the reason he kicked back and he said, what I said was wrong, was because of the essential Mishnah back in Ktubot, Hotziah Gepelo Ktubah. And if you think that's a place where you don't write a Ktubah, the get Hainu Ktubata, the get is the Ktubah, to get Mana Matayim Ktubah, the get doesn't say Matayim or any amount. If you think that since the rabbi said in those places where we don't write a ketubah, the get use is the ketubah, so therefore the get inheres me'er matayim, liton v'leima parati, then the husband can say, yeah, I already paid back. So they would say back to him, if you really paid back, you should have torn up the get, which is serving as the ketubah. So Marlon, he would answer back, Lo shavaktan, she wouldn't let me tear it up. Amart ba'ina lin tzubibe, I need my get so I can remarry. So perhaps we tell him, listen, what you should have done is mark the get saying paid, and I'm not marking this because the get is invalid, she can get married, but just so that she can't collect the second time. So I have to call the magi v'edina magi, but not everybody collects in a beit din. In other words, not everybody in front of whom she comes to collect her ketubah knows how to do such sophisticated things. So therefore, if she has her get, and she brings out her get, we're not talking about a situation where that could be talking about a situation where they don't necessarily write they don't necessarily write a ketubah, and therefore we had to go back and take a look at Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Rabbi Yochanan's statement really is a chiddush beyond that. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick up at the next Mishnah Zayin in the next podcast as we continue our study of the first parak of Masechet Bar Mitzvah. Everybody should have a wonderful day.